Is your business worth saving? Welcome to Business Rescue Roadmap, providing new approaches to your business, how to avoid pitfalls, and proven methods to take your business to the top. Save your business, rescue your life with your host and business coach, Stacy Tuschel.
You are listening to the Business Rescue Roadmap, episode number 108. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel, and on today's show, we have Kate Swoboda, aka also known as Kate Courageous. She's the author of the Courageous Living Program, founder of the Courageous Living Coach Certification, and creator of YourCourageousLife.com. She defines courage as feeling afraid, diving in anyway, and then transforming. Her approach combines straight shooting, pragmatic wisdom with playful poking at self-imposed limitations of who you are and what's truly possible for you. Kate was deemed by one of the top 50 bloggers making a difference in fitness, health, and happiness by Greatest. She's written for Entrepreneur, The Intelligent Optimist, The Daily Love, Pro Blogger, Mindbody Green, and a bunch of other amazing opportunities, as well as the breakout session speaker at World Domination Summit. Her first book will be with publisher New Harbinger, will be on shelves in 20 countries. Pretty amazing. Kate, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I don't know if it's going to be in 20 countries, but it'll be out in 2017. So.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Sounds great.
One can hope, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed for you.
Yeah.
So now let me, I gave you like a little brief introduction. Let us know a little bit personal. Are you married, kids? Kind of fill us in. Let us know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, I've got the trifecta, marriage, mortgage, and motherhood.
Nice.
I've been a life coach since 2006 and have really oriented my practice around how we face fear and practice courage, how we create courage as a habit in our lives. And, I would say I'm one of those introverts who isn't shy. Sometimes I'm an INFP and sometimes an INFJ, depending on which Myers-Briggs I take. Not which, but like which online test, because I've never taken a formal one. And really happy to be here today. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, so happy to have you. Great. Well, thank you for sharing. Now, I want to kind of go back. You said 2006 is when you became a life coach. I love going back to the story of what I call, committing to win or cutting your losses. So take us back to that moment when you decided to be a life coach. And, what factors did you have to take into consideration before you really decided to commit to win?
I did not take a lot of factors into consideration. I mostly just said to myself, the coaching industry had always appealed to me. I began putting feelers out. I, attended like an orientation night for a training. It was very immediate. I know I'm into this. I really want to do it. Where do I sign? Let me get started. I really loved working with the first few clients that I had through that training program. And, I just decided I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to like do this. And I didn't really think much about it. I just kind of said, I'm going to do it. And I didn't think it was ever going to turn into anything though. I didn't have very high expectations at first. I thought it'll be a hobby on the side. And I thought, I don't have a lot of business training. I don't have any business training. Who am I to start a business? I'm just going to like kind of do this because it's fun and it's a little extra money and why not?
So how long did it take before it went from hobby to, okay, this is a real business?
I would say I only felt like it was a real business maybe a year ago.
Okay.
to be more serious about it. 2009 is when I said, okay, I really want to make this a business and I'm going to start learning about marketing and stuff like that. And I would say 2011, 2012 is when I hit my stride with it. And then I would say that since then it's just been growing and growing. And there is a part of me that sometimes, a year ago is this year, really the last 9 to 10 months, that's when I went, okay, like I've been an LLC. I'm going to file to have myself taxed as an S corp, meaning that I am now an employee of my own incorporation. And I have to like generate a W-2 for myself and everything. And that felt like, okay, really serious. And I think I'm probably later to doing that than a lot of my colleagues have been, but all on your own time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I thank you for sharing that, like that timeline and really figuring that out, because You know, sometimes we will be doing something for a year and we think, oh, is this ever going to get easier? And then you hear people say, you know, it took 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And then you realize, okay, well, this huge success story that I'm looking at, it didn't happen overnight. And I can get there too, just step by step. So I love that you just shared that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, we do marketing training in my coach training program. So I hear from a lot of new and emerging coaches who are going, how long is this going to take? And the standard line that I have seen, other people told it to me before I had done this, and I found it to be true. It's really got to be 18 months of being consistent. And the being consistent is the clincher. You cannot blog and network consistently for 3 months and then take a month off and then go, oh, okay, cool. So 4 months into it. No. You took that month off. You got to start like the momentum for whatever reason. 18 to 24 months is like that sweet spot for people to start getting regular income. And it's got to be consistent that whole time.
Yeah, you have to really treat it like a real business. And I think that's where, like you said, and I was there too, you know, I started my first business thinking, oh, this will be fun. This will be just like a side thing. And when you start that, you can't even say, oh, well, I've been doing this for 2 years. You know, if it's just your side hobby, you really have to, like you said, be consistent, be there every day, show up and really deliver.
Yeah, you got to treat it like a J-O-B.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Kate, tell me, what would you say is just maybe one or two of your most important strengths that you really bring to the table?
Well, you know, tenacity, which is often showing up as courage. And I don't believe in fearless. I think fearless is a myth. I think it's a BS form of perfectionism. I have never met anyone who is fearless. I have only ever met people who have learned how to work with their fear in really powerful ways, in such a way that it doesn't stop them. And I would count myself among those people. So I absolutely feel afraid when I launch things, when something new and scary and legal is happening in my business world. Those are all moments where I feel fear, but I've also learned the habits of courage that help people to move through that. And so my real focus on practicing courage and creating it in such a way that it's habitual has been a huge strength for me. And I would also say too, that there are mindset things that I probably apply to tricky, sticky situations. And like one of them is, I've got a blog post about it somewhere. If you want it badly enough, you'll find a way to get it. I actually think that that's just a thing that we can apply to ourselves pretty generally, that if you want something badly enough, you will find a way to get it. And there is a way to do it for everyone. There's not one way to grow a business for all people. But once you find your way of growing your business and really get consistent about it, it's pretty powerful to see what people can create and the results that I've seen from some of my colleagues, some of our graduates. It's like, it's really, really like, yeah, sister, you did it. You did
right.
It. Yeah.
That passion has to be there though. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, that's one of the things in my book I talk about is, you know, is your business worth saving? Well, the first question I say is, do you love it? You know, do you love it anymore? You know, maybe you used to love what you're doing and it's kind of morphed into something that you're not passionate about, and you really need it if you're going to go all in and really put your best foot forward and build this business up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you, over this, you know, last decade building this business, do you have a financial mistake or a lesson learned that you can share with us? Something just to share with my audience to help us understand how big these finances can really play a role in our business.
Do I have a financial mistake?
Yes.
Well, I mean, there's the basic one of, you know, trying to quit my job too quickly. I think you know, like, you got to build yourself a runway, because the thing is, a lot of us overachievers and entrepreneurs think that we're going to somehow subvert the curve because we're just going to work hard enough that we'll get the results faster. But entrepreneurship doesn't work that way. Entrepreneurship is not like getting a good grade in school, and the amount of time you spent crafting the perfect essay is probably going to correlate to an A. And entrepreneurship is not like the corporate world, where the amount of time you spend on committees and schmoozing to the right person and getting your reports turned in on time is equal to moving up a career ladder. It just doesn't work that way. There are too many other variables. So there's that. But the other one that I would say was a probably my biggest, like in terms of money on the table, was I hired a friend, now a former friend, who ran a PR agency, a PR agency of two. And I was seeing all these things that she was posting online about how she was so booked up and everything else. And I was like, wow. And I, you know, wanted to hurry up and, you know, get booked with her. And then it turned out that she actually could not generate the results that, you know, more than $8,000 of PR that I spent.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, so it was like a really,
can be really pricey.
Yeah. And then I tried to talk to her about it and said, look, this is super awkward. The results weren't where they needed to be. Can we work together on this? I want to, you know, like we're friends, da, da, da. And on the phone, it was, yeah, totally. We'll work through this. And within an hour of us getting off the phone, there was this passive aggressive Facebook post about people who, you know, don't get the results they want from their PR firm are clueless about how the media really works. And I just went, oh my God. So it was this really difficult situation because it wasn't just the money, but it was also this grief that I felt because I was clear that I wasn't going to put up with that kind of disrespect in a friendship. But I also genuinely, aside from this situation, loved and cared about this person and really mourned, you know, like, I mean, that's such a dramatic word, right? You know, it's not like my life was over, but really, truly felt sad that clearly this was not a relationship that was going to work. And so a big financial lesson that I think I really learned from that, though, is not like I don't mix money and friendship, because I do have other situations where
definitely
it can work, but definitely like vet your people and be very clear when you work with someone. What are the outcomes that we're both working towards here? Like not just generate PR, but like, okay, how many placements are we really talking about here? And I know that you can't always guarantee results, but based on your past client work, is it reasonable that you could guarantee this many results? Is it reasonable that you have a contact at, you know, this or that media outlet? You know, like getting clear on what your metrics are when you're working with people is definitely something that I've learned in terms of how I work with people now.
Well, and those are two such great stories. So thank you for sharing both of those. So let's talk about this, you know, working with friends. And I agree with you. I think that it in the beginning, it's, you know, how do we do this? How do we make this work? And I agree that if you can get crystal clear, it is sometimes just this sticky situation where you don't want to kind of cross the line. And are we talking as friends right now? Or are we talking as people that are, you know, working together, somebody that I hired? So it can get very sticky. And there are definitely some friends I know that I will never work with because I don't want to cross that boundary. But at the same time, I have a lot of great friends that I'm able to work with, or maybe I work with them and we start to build a friendship. So I think it just in general, it's always great to know I'm going to provide this, you're going to provide that, and let's just come to an agreement on how this is going to work. So that's such a great thing because unfortunately, you know, maybe we hire family, we hire friends, and it doesn't work out the way we're hoping in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then another thing too, and I don't know that we've ever talked about this on the show. We've already had 100 episodes. I'm not sure if somebody's ever brought up quitting their job too soon. And I love that you talked about it because recently I was talking to a coaching client who said, you know, I kind of feel like I need to go back and get a 9-to-5 job and I'm really nervous. And for me, I mean, I did the same thing. I had a job for 4 years while I was growing my business because I was, you know, the money I was making, I was investing back into the business. So I needed money to live. So for me, I've actually seen that there are some situations where, yes, people do need to go back and get that full-time job because they need to be surviving off of that money and not wondering, do I stick it in my business or do I put food on the table this week? You know, there's got to be a way to figure that out. So I think quitting your job too soon, I see a lot of people do it. They hope for the best, but they don't know what it really means and how scary entrepreneurship can really get sometimes if you don't have the consistent revenue coming in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm so surprised that nobody else has brought this up because it's an ongoing conversation that I've had. It's like so many people, they just want to go, F it, I'm quitting my job, I hate my boss, I hate my, and it's like, and especially if you find work that lights you up, that you can't wait to get home to after your 9-to-5.
Yes.
You know? It's really difficult. And people tend to think, oh, if I just had 40 hours a week to spend on my business, I'd have success tomorrow. And it's just like, it just doesn't quite work that way. And let me tell you, Stacey, I tried to quit my job not just one time too soon, but twice. So I like quit once with no plan whatsoever,
right,
and needed to go back to teaching. I did it a second time when I had about $6,000 in savings, which I live in Bay Area, California. So that's like 3 months of living expenses. It's not forever.
Right.
And I was able to go a little longer, but then whenever the teaching job that I worked for said, so we have kind of a jam, do you think you could come in and sub for this class? I was like, yes. What time do I need to be there?
Right.
You know? So it, and it wasn't until the third time. And, it just, it's a tricky thing. You gotta have, I got a quote. It's Scott Birkin, who originally was being interviewed by Srinivas Rao on the Unmistakable Creative podcast, who gave this analogy. He talked about you have to have enough of a runway. And I love that image of like a plane that's taking off needs enough runway to get enough speed under the wings to actually take flight.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, a perfect way to sum it up, because you're right. And if you run out of that runway before you're too soon, you know, your business isn't going to take off. You absolutely need to have that. So yeah, such a great analogy. Now, before we dive in more, let's just take a quick moment to thank one of our sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook tool of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap. Again, that's audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap for your free audiobook today.
All right, we are back with Kate Svoboda, and thank you so much. I want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper and ask you, I love this question. So is your business running you? We kind of talk about work-life balance here. What does that mean to you? Does it exist? Do you have it? Kind of fill me in on that.
I don't know that I believe it exists. And, you know, to some degree, it depends on how you like to work. I'm a work hard, play hard kind of girl. Okay. I like to be like completely immersed in a project or a launch or a whatever. And then I like to know, but throughout that, I like to know what my ending date is. And then I like to like drop it and walk away, like dropping the mic and walking away, like, and just completely be in a totally different world than that. This is something that is also evolving for me too, because of the way that my business is growing. My business is right at this cusp where I am making enough money and there's enough stuff going on that I really need to hire more people to come onto my team, but I'm not quite making enough money to really make a solid, like it's a legit financial commitment that I can make. Like I want to, when I make a move to bring more people onto my team, I want it to be like, oh, you know, there's enough income revenue that I know I'll be able to hire you year after year, not just for the next quarter. So, it's a tricky spot to be in because I am busier than I have ever been since the time when I was first starting my business in those early days of hustling to get it up and going. I'm writing a book. I need to grow my platform. Publishers are very clear about the expectations they have of their authors that, you know, you have to grow your platform. It's on you. It's not like they hook you up with a media person and you just sit back and do interviews. And that is all really tough. I run a training program. I need to keep my social media, you know, flow going and, you know, monitor what everything that's happening at yourcourageouslife.com and like get, you know, I'm working with people one-on-one sometimes. I'm having meetings with my leadership team, writing the book and planning the promotion of the book and everything a year in advance. It's all very overwhelming. So the system that I found that works best so far for me is to really know what I want to be working on any given day. Because otherwise it feels like this big thing that I can't wrangle. And when I take it into parts and I go, okay, I don't need to worry about, you know, updating my opt-in today because today is not the day I have slated for that. I'll worry about that on the day I have slated for it.
So tell me how you now are really trying to build your platform, get visibility. What are, you know, just a top couple of methods you're using?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. I mean, I mean, there's the general stuff, Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. I'm big on, I don't do anything I don't like doing. And that sounds super prissy, but like, for instance, I love having conversations about entrepreneurship, courage. I love talking with people like you. So this is like a yes for me, because it's like, this is what I want to do to, you know, like I want to have a great conversation with people. And I love the idea that everyone who's listening to this right now is going, oh, I can use that bit of information and it helps me. I love that kind of reciprocity. So a lot of what I consider doing, you know, people tell me you should do teleseminars, you should do giveaways, you should do this, this, and this. And there might be a day when I do those things, but for now it doesn't appeal to me. So for now it's mostly, how can I be writing as much as possible and sharing my writing as much as possible with the world? So if it's not having a great conversation with someone like you, and if it's not, you know, the just kind of strategic basics of setting up and monitoring the success of a Facebook ad, it's really, how can I just make as much space available as possible for writing? And maybe the writing's going to be a blog post. Maybe it's going to be a guest post. Maybe it's going to go into somebody's anthology. I don't know. But that's where I put my time.
Great. Yeah. And I think what you said, you know, if you don't enjoy doing it, you just don't do it. And that's one of the, like, the huge perks of being an entrepreneur. So I think that is something that we get to choose and we get to decide, you know, what's the benefit of this, but you know, what am I going to get out of it? What's the return as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to look at that type of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So I would like to talk a little bit about delegation, outsourcing, and, you know, maybe name one thing that you couldn't wait to give up delegation-wise in your business or outsourcing. One thing that you said, as soon as I have enough money, I'm going to get rid of this off my plate.
I don't think I have anything like that per se, because even things that can be tedious, like invoicing, I created as a sort of an abundance practice from the beginning. I was always just so glad to have clients from the very beginning, very grateful. And so I would set up invoices and I would just kind of like get myself into this space of like, how great is this? I'm invoicing for a client right now. You know, this is so awesome.
That is really funny. Yeah, I get it.
So even the kind of tedious stuff, I will say that I work with a VA who's amazing. And I just like on a professional level, she's amazing. On a personal level, I really like who she is. And that feels important to me. I so appreciate that she reminds me of things, because I had a kid, I have a 2-year-old, and since I had a kid, trying to remember things feels a lot more difficult. And she reminds me of things. And I just think that, I mean, I'm just so grateful. I would say the big thing that I think I'm so grateful that my business has the income to do this. It is, I'm so grateful that my business has the income to hire someone to help me remember things.
Yeah, no, and honestly, it is like that level of gratitude. I think that is really important and amazing that you are doing that. And you're right. It's the fact that your business is at that stage where you're able to do that. And there was a moment or a time back then where you were just, you know, hoping, wishing you could be writing out invoices because there wasn't any money coming
right.
in. So I do think that's really cool that you're kind of looking at it from a different way. So I appreciate that.
But you know what I would love? I have always said this, like if I won the lottery tomorrow or made X amount of a personal chef, oh my God, somebody else to come into my life and just, I swear, I'd like to get a tiny house in my backyard and just say to someone, you know, some young millennial who doesn't have kids, who has a lot of energy, like, do you want to live in the tiny house in the backyard, but you'll just come in and cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner for myself and my family when we need it? And we'll let you know what we're craving and you'll make that meal. Oh, that would be, that's.
I hear you. I'm not a cook either. I'm definitely a frozen pizza kind of pull anything out of the freezer and make it for dinner. So I'm right on board with you there. So before we go, I just have a couple quick questions I want to ask you, the ultimate guide of the business rescue roadmap. So let me know, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
Oh, the people. I mean, I am like the women who come into our training program. I'm just like, I'm so excited that I get to hang out with you. The clients, the people I work with on our leadership team for the training program. I like love Voxing with them. We use Voxer, which is like a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I love Voxer.
Oh, love it. And I love the people and I love being part of their lives when it's hard and like letting them know they're not alone. And I love being part of their lives when they've worked through something and it's like, yeah, you did it. And I love the people.
Yeah. Having those people get results and knowing that you helped them get there. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the most challenging part for you as an entrepreneur, would you say?
Two things. One would be, well, in the shadow side of the people, which is that when someone's fear gets kicked up and the way they experience it is to make someone else wrong, you know, that can be challenging. Or I'd say the other thing is the sense of, I mean, there is a sense, even though I think I get better and better boundaries with work every single year, there's a sense of always being on. Because it's like, if I'm on vacation, like, let's just be real. If I'm on vacation and my VA voxes me and says, a piece you wrote has miraculously gone viral, you've had a bunch more sales of your Courageous Living program, but there are some tech issues that need untangling. You think I'm going to like stay on the beach and like not worry about it and have 5 days where people are pissed off because they can't get the product they just bought? No, I'm going to find a Wi-Fi and I'm going to get people their products. So there's a sense of like, there's always that possibility. Now that's like a good problem for someone to call you away from your vacation from.
Right.
But there is this sense of like always needing to be on. And then I would say the other thing too has more recently been trademark disputes. I am involved right now in a legal entanglement with somebody who's just insisting that I'm violating their trademark. And I'm just going like, and they're filing these things about how I knew that they had a trademark and I am trying to take their business away from them. And I'm just like, I did not even know like who you were. This is crazy. Can we just like have a conversation about it and like not involve lawyers, but apparently lawyers need to be involved. So that's definitely a headache and very challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you.
So tell me, what is one go-to online tool that helps either save your business or rescue your life? So something professionally or personally you just can't live without.
I mean, Voxer is, it's not an online tool, but
It's an app. It's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, Voxer has just been so great for like upping the connection because texting is such a different thing. Email is a different thing. Being able to hear my VA's voice when she Voxes me and she says, hey, Kate, da-da-da-da-da happened. And it's great. It's like, it's wonderful. So that's the one that is really big. And I will tell you this too. When I was a brand new mom and I did not have my fingers and thumbs available for texting, Voxer saved my life regularly. So it's really great.
All right, good. Thanks for sharing. Now, what is one solid piece of advice before we go that you want to give to our entrepreneurs looking to level up their business?
Keep your eyes on your own paper. That's what occurs to me now is that this like people just get themselves really twisted up in knots with comparing what's going on in their business to what they think is going on in somebody else's business. And, you know, they don't even know, you know, they don't know the whole picture. First of all, there's the whole like online scammer thing, which is rampant these days and ridiculous. So sometimes people get really twisted on thinking I should be at that level as fast as that person, and that person's lying. And then there's the whole thing of, you know, you don't know what that person had. I mean, there are certain people who reach a certain level of success. And before they became online entrepreneurs, they had a background in an area that was extremely helpful. Like maybe they wrote for a particular media publication and they have a bunch of contacts at that publication who helped introduce them to the right people. And like, I'm not saying it's bad that they had that advantage. Like everybody should use the advantages that they have to create what they're creating. I don't begrudge anyone else the advantages they have one bit, but just keep in mind that it's not that I think a lot of entrepreneurs go to a place of going, I must not be good enough if I'm not, you know, Marie Forleo by next year.
Right.
And it's you don't know what Marie Forleo had. You don't know what lucky break she had, and you don't know what kind of 100-hour work weeks she might have been working.
Right, right.
Like,
it's just so easy to look at a success story and not understand the work it took to get there.
The work or the luck or the whatever or the trade-offs that have had to be made along the way. And I would just say, like, keep your eyes on your own paper. Don't do blah, blah, blah marketing strategy because so-and-so says that you should do it. Do the marketing strategies that when you do them, you feel good and you kind of come alive and you're like, hey, that's a great day. I get to talk to Stacy at the Business Rescue Roadmap. And like, I love that. It's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Could not agree more. Well, Kate, thank you so much for being here. Where can my listeners find more about you and just anything you want to share that kind of leads them to you?
Well, the main place is yourcourageouslife.com. And then the training program that I run is at tribecclcc.com.
Perfect. And I'll put all of those links in the show notes too.
Awesome.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here. Such a pleasure interviewing you today.
Thank you. And thank you for such great questions and giving me an opportunity to chat and have fun with you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Business Rescue Roadmap. Be sure to visit stacytuschel.com for more free content, videos, and online courses like the Get Focused Academy that helps you let go of distractions and take the action necessary to achieve your dreams. We look forward to helping you save your business and rescue your life here on the Business Rescue Roadmap.